Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Southern Alberta Council on Public Affairs. My name is Diane King, and I will be your moderator today. I'd like to just remind everyone that the cost of this session, whether you eat lunch or not, is $10, and if you would all just put that into the basket on the table and delegate somebody there to collect that, and the treasurer will be around to gather it from you. SACPA is a not-for-profit organization. It depends on the contributions and the membership. So if you're not a member, please see Myrna Green or any of the board members and take out a membership to this very, very wonderful organization. I'd like to thank the partners of SACPA. That's the University of Lethbridge. The University of Lethbridge provides the written mail-outs that you receive, the bulletins, and also to the Lethbridge College. They do an audio session, an audio taping of this event, and you're able to catch that at the SACPA website, which is www.sacpa.ca, and you can catch that anytime, and they archive all of the sessions so you can go back over the years and see them either in video or audio. The format for today is we will have our speakers speak for approximately 25 minutes. We will then break for about 20 minutes for lunch, and then, as usual, we will have a question and answer period. So without any further ado, I would like to introduce our topic today. Our topic is, has Exhibition Park outgrown its present location? Exhibition Park has been part of Lethbridge for more than a century. In 2007, it estimates that it contributed more than $80 million to our local economy and provided entertainment and knowledge to over 850,000 visitors. That's just amazing. Since 1998, the organized activities that it hosts have grown by nearly 50% to 570 events, including events such as your Farmers Market, Ag Expo, and certainly Whoop Up Days, which is its most prominent. Quality space, though, is now at a premium for the ever-expanding needs of exhibitors. It's only a matter of time before some business will be turned away. With facilities aging, infrastructure in need of repair, and empty space for expansion non-existent, Exhibition Park is at a crossroad. Should it make do, repair and maximize its existing space, or does moving away to a larger parcel of land with room for growth make more sense? But how much will it cost, and who will pay for it? Our speakers today are Georgina Knedel and Rudy Friesen. Georgina Knedel is the president of the Exhibition Park Board of Directors. Georgina was born and raised on a farm in northern Alberta, and she holds a BSc in Agricultural Economics from the U of A and an MBA in Agriculture from the University of Guelph. Georgina is a partner at Cox Wealth Management, specializing in succession planning for agri and small business. Georgina also is a busy mother of two and mediates for the Provincial Civil Court in Lethbridge and Medicine Hat, primarily for cases regarding agricultural, will, and estate issues. Georgina is in her second year as president of the Lethbridge and District Board of Directors, having started the board in 2001. Rudy Friesen is the general manager of Exhibition Park. So we have the president of the board of directors, and we have the general manager. He, too, was born on a farm, but it was a farm just south of Saskatoon. After attending University of Saskatchewan, Rudy worked for 6 years in radio and then for two different not-for-profit organizations dealing with agricultural education and advocacy. His career in the exhibition industry began in 1993 in Saskatoon, first with the Prairie Land, and then as general manager of the Swift Current Exhibition. In 2002, Rudy accepted the position of general manager at Lethbridge's Exhibition Park. Rudy is also the current president of the Canadian Association of Fairs and Exhibitions. Please join me in giving a warm welcome to Rudy and Georgina. Rudy will begin.
Thank you, Diane, and good afternoon, everyone. I always, after I hear my bio, I remember that I was promising my mother to clarify, because my mother's 90 years old, and when you say that you were born on a farm, she says you were born on the farm. And I was not. I was born in a hospital, but raised on the farm, and my mom always wants me to clarify that, because to her there is a big difference. Because I was not the only one of her children that was born in the hospital. The others were born on the farm. Thank you very much for the opportunity to speak to you today, and we're going to give you kind of a quick overview of Reader's Digest version, I guess, of Exhibition Park's role in the community and what it is that we do to fulfill that role, and that'll help us move to more the content of why we're here today. But just as a quick refresher, I guess we've been out and about with these presentations over the course of a number of months, in fact years, to speak to the interest about the project and answer some questions about the project, and I guess today, as has been the case since we began this process, we want to assure you that the organization is moving forward with relocation as a major component of our redevelopment process. Land has been acquired in the immediate southeast corner of the city limit, and for those of you who don't have a mental map in your heads, and I forgot to plug the map in there, but that is approximately a mile, I guess, east of the airport and a couple miles south of Evergreen Golf Course. That is now the immediate southeast corner. It would be 58th Street and McNally Road at that intersection. And also, we want to continue to increase public understanding and support for the project as we continue to move forward. Exhibition Park is an organization in this community, as exhibitions are in communities across this great country. We have significant and valuable roles to play in support of community growth. One of them is economic growth. A lot of the activities that we have, that we stage, attract major businesses and attract a lot of people to the community, and that stimulates visitor spending, and that translates, of course, into economic impact. And all of those activities help to facilitate that economic growth, as Diane indicated in the introduction. Our last economic impact statement indicated a contribution in this community annually of $81 million in economic impact, and to us that's significant, but we also do see significant room to grow that. The other key piece for us as a nonprofit community-based organization is community development. You have an expectation in a community this size that there are certain development opportunities and services that you would expect, and we are one of those. We stage or attract entertainment and other community events that allow for a gathering in the community, and that gathering stimulates community spirit and engagement, and we feel that that component of it is probably more important now than it ever has been in our 110 plus years of existence. With the advent of computer and internet technology and online banking and online dating and online gaming and online everything else, we're probably one of the last great gathering places in the community where we all actually get together face to face and visit, and we feel that that's important. Now, the relocation issue has been the one that's raised some question, and we've really boiled it down to the five reasons that we need to move. I mean, first of all, in this whole process, we did establish that our facilities were inadequate. They're old. They're beyond their useful life. And we wanted to look at expanding on that site. We quickly found out that our 63 acres is just simply too small to accommodate that growth moving forward. And I'm sure all of you know where Exhibition Park is located. There's no real opportunity where we sit today to turn that 63 acres into anything greater than 63 acres. I suppose we could start chopping our way out into Henderson Lake Park, but I don't think that there would be a lot of public support for that. So that said, in effect, we're landlocked. The other thing that we established in our due diligence was that the cost to renovate or rebuild on that site, even if it was the right size, equals or exceeds the cost of starting on a new site regardless. So we were faced with that dilemma. So the logic tells you that moving to a better location on a larger site allows for a more orderly growth and allows us to continue to grow with the community. And the most important thing, if there's a value for our role in the community, is that relocation and continued expansion brings with it sustainability, which is what we need in order to continue to operate. just so that you know that we didn't come up with those five reasons just brainstorming over a cup of coffee after a board meeting, it just got a sampling there of the due diligence that was conducted over about a 24-month span by our board of directors, including architectural and engineering assessments, market analysis studies, feasibility studies, conversations with other exhibition associations that have been in the same types of situation, and some work to do some business planning to move us forward as an organization and ensure that we would be sustainable on a expanded site. So the key pieces here before I turn it over to Georgina are this. The first one from Stuart Olson Construction Limited that came back to us with their engineering assessment of our park when we started this process. We had a presentation from them in May of 2005, and the engineer just flat out told us that our facilities are beyond their useful life, and they're no longer suited for their intended use, and the cost to repair or renovate them would exceed the cost of new construction. And the other thing that was a key for us was our clients. And Georgina will talk about the introduction suggests that we're in the position where we may be starting to lose business. Georgina will be able to share with you that, in fact, we are already. And it's a cost to us, and we believe a cost to the community. So that's from the comments that you see from our existing customers about diminished facilities, unacceptable facilities for the uses that they now need, inability to grow within our facilities to meet the needs of their growing businesses, and a limitation on their potential due to facility systems like lighting, heating, those sorts of things. So with that, I'll turn it over to Georgina to talk a little bit about the economics of where we're at with this process.
Oh, you'll get to hear more from him later. So thank you, and I don't have near the eloquence or the voice that Rudy does, but please don't mistake that for lack of passion. I really can understand now why in an organization your presidency lasts for a certain term and then you're done, because I really have definite opinions and vision of what I want to see. So it'd be best that once I'm done as president of the organization, I move on. So in the meantime, can everybody hear me? Okay, great. Right now, our growth rate, well, this was as at about 2 years ago now, wasn't it? Our growth rate was at 0.3% a year. So that's not keeping pace with the world. That's not keeping pace with Canada, and certainly not keeping pace with Alberta. Our new facilities should allow us to grow at about 4.5% a year, and we get that number from just seeing what our peer group in Alberta is doing. And in fact, that's an average industry average that we drag down. If we were actually holding our own, it would probably be more like 5.5% growth a year. At the moment, we are declining, and I'll show you a slide later on of our profitability. Our cash flow is declining, and you can see why. At 0.3% growth a year, and you know what your expenses have been increasing by over the last few years, it certainly is not matching our increase in our expenditures. Based on industry growth trends, new facilities would allow us to have an economic impact on this region of about $108 million. We think that's a pretty significant economic driver here for the local community. By comparison, if we don't move, right now we're contributing $81 million, and that's nothing to laugh at either. Those are significant dollars. However, what I want to point out is, yeah, we're contributing $81 million, or we were a couple years ago, $81 million a year. But as you see, our expenses, that's the yellow line, are beginning to exceed our revenue line. So that's a problem. Everybody can understand that that's a problem. That doesn't work in your own household. It certainly doesn't work in business, and it's not working for a nonprofit organization either. Now, if we were in new facilities, just keeping pace with the rest of the province, that would be that blue line. That's what we should be able to enjoy. And that, again, is just an average. And so maybe we should back up. Why is it important? I mean, at the end of the day, if our expenses are exceeding our revenue, then I guess we just start cutting expenses, and we can start doing that. But that translates into us cutting our programming and our services to this community. So things like Family Fest, and there's how many went to that this year, this past New Year's, Rudy? 11,000 people come out. They don't pay any money. It's a venue for your everyday person in this community to take their family to and celebrate the new year coming in. We're very proud of the event. We get a little bit of funding from the city, but we as an organization subsidize that event. That's just one example of our community programming that we do. And we have about 3.5 events going on a day on those grounds. Most of those, a good number of those, we end up subsidizing. We as an organization do. We have probably 5 major revenue drivers. So that would be Whoop Up Days, Egg Expo, Home and Garden. Then we have some rental of our facilities. And then we have maybe $250,000 coming in on our deal with the racetrack because they pay us a little bit of rent. So that's the big, and a grant of about $380,000 coming in. That's all that comes in. Those 6 drivers bring in the revenue. The rest we turn back, we subsidize for community programming. So we're going to have a problem here. Either we have to really drive revenue, and we found we can't. We can't. We can't host any more events on the grounds. We have lineups of people waiting for almost 15 years to come into Egg Expo. We don't have the room for them anymore. Home and Garden, same thing. There's people wanting to come in. They pay us money to exhibit there. We can't host them. In fact, Rudy just shared for me, we've been tracking. We have had, just not by solicitation, but people phoning us saying, hey, would you be interested in hosting or facilitating this event for us? So just looking at the, if I'm looking at this right, the calendar year where we're at today, we've already lost $103,400 that we've said, sorry, we can't do this for you. We want to. We know it would be great for the community. This is something we would enjoy. We believe it's part of our mandate to be able to help you facilitate all this, but we can't. We have to say no. So we could try to drive revenues. It's just not happening. We're already told for Egg Expo, for example, those exhibitors that come in, that we are charging the highest price per, I guess, square foot of rental space and providing the least amount of, they don't say service, they're very happy with the service. We're very helpful, smiley, we're there all the time, but the least amount of amenities. So we can't push those dollars anymore either. So then we start looking at cutting our expenses, and cutting expenses translates into cutting of community programming and services. Let's see here where I'm at. So now, this is a little bit of an eye test. So let me walk through it. It's an eye test for me. Even on my sheet, it's an eye test. So let me come around. Can I come around? Can you still hear me if I come away from the... So what we're looking at...
No.
You can hear me. Okay. Thank you. Be candid. So what we're looking at is if we built the facilities, we think from all that help from our outside consultants told us, if we build those facilities, by 2011, we can actually, what this is demonstrating is that we can cash flow an expansion. That would include us picking up some debt on this expansion. It would include also help from our 3 major government partners, that being the municipality, the province, and the feds. But we, by 2011, would have a cash net inflow of about $170,000. Not a lot of money, but it makes us happy because we're not tracking in that direction right now. By 2013, we're pushing $500,000 of net income coming in. And that's as we grow our programming and services and what we have to offer, and as expenses continue to escalate, and as we service debt. So that's where we're at. As far as what we think we can do, it's a very preliminary business plan, but our numbers are telling us, and we've had KPMG helping us out, that we can certainly sustain ourselves. Rudy, did you want to take over here?
Thanks, Georgina. So just quickly some concluding remarks, and just to expand on what Georgina said about community activities like Family Fest and some of the other things that we do, we don't often quantify that because it's why we're here and we just do it. And as a part of this process, we reached a point where we wanted to quantify it because there was this question of sustainability. And so the question that we posed back to the community in a couple of different venues was, sustainability at what cost? And just to give you an example, if I take all of the activities that we do out, community activities that we do throughout the course of the year, whether it be the donation of a facility, whether it be the donation of prizes, whether it be cash sponsorships, whether it be contributions to community activities, whether it be providing tables and chairs and those types of things for organizations like Fifth on Fifth Youth Services for fundraisers and those types of things. If I take all of those things in a given year and add them up, they total $230,000 a year. We can stop. But again, sustainability at what cost? Our board of directors does not want to stop. They feel an inherent responsibility in this community as a nonprofit organization, and this effort is to try and continue to meet or exceed that expectation in terms of our community involvement. So quickly, to summarize, we're presently at or near capacity on this site in terms of the sustainability that we want to achieve. Our financial scenario is not encouraging. Rebuilding on the existing site would be a short-term fix. And the new site offers a redevelopment model that provides sustainability and provides us some long-term growth. And conversely, I think one of the things when Georgina talks about the business that we've already lost, that we weren't able to accommodate, those sorts of things, I remember in 2005 when The Economist came and spoke to us and he said, you know, you guys could work the other way. You know, these are great economic impact numbers, but you guys could work the other way so that if you continue to do this, you could actually be a brake on the economy. You could start to slow it down if, in fact, you're one of the engines in the community that provides for that economic benefit, and that's certainly not our choice. We know from our studies and our options on our existing site that a minor renovation is just not a solution, and it provides no accommodation whatsoever for growth. Remember what Georgina said, a waiting list for Ag Expo trade show for 15 years. Renovating doesn't solve the waiting list. And rebuilding to those larger facilities on the existing site, rebuilding larger facilities on our existing site is just a short-term temporary fix. We're going to lose more parking by doing it. By the way, any given one of our larger events, like Ag Expo, Whoop Up Days, Home and Garden, at any given time during any given hour of the day during those shows, our independent audits have demonstrated 60 to 70 vehicles parked on residential streets in the neighborhood that belong to us. So the only place that we can expand on that site right now is to take away more parking spots and make more people walk further to come and enjoy the amenities of the exhibition. So that's a quick summary. We've got some photographs here for you. I think one of the last things that I would like to share about this redevelopment thing, and we certainly do need to get into the conversation about the costs and who's going to pay for it. One thing that I will say that when we first stepped out into the community with this concept of relocation, we even ourselves felt like a little bit of an anomaly, and I think the community in large was somewhat shocked about a whole relocation of an exhibition. In fact, as we've drilled into this, this isn't new. In fact, it's not new for Lethbridge Exhibition. This will be the second time we moved. The first time we moved was from our original site, which is now Gyro Park, to what is our existing site, and we were relocated to there in order to expand to host the World Dry Farming Congress in 1912. So we were the first ones to move. Since that time, Red Deer Exhibition in Red Deer has relocated, and just it's been unbelievable for them since the mid-80s in terms of the growth and the impact and the contribution back to the city. Likewise, Evergreen Park in Grand Prairie, Alberta has recently moved about 10 years ago, relocated to a larger location away from the downtown, and their business has far exceeded their business plan. I'll also share with you that I was at the International Association of Fairs and Exhibitions Spring Management Conference this past week in Salt Lake City. There was a gentleman there from an architectural firm that specializes in exhibition facilities and Olympic sites. He's worked in this industry for specifically and directly for over 15 years, And in his redevelopment work for exhibitions in North America, in 31 instances in the last 15 years, that redevelopment has included relocation. And he says the way this industry is going with urban sprawl and the demands on our footprint as an exhibition, he sees at least another 30 relocations in the next 3 to 5 years. So it's not new, but it's certainly new to us in this century. With that, we've got some photos here of kind of how we want to see the new park layout and some of the images, if you want to go to those images. And we can leave those up. I don't know what the process is.
Are we going for time?
We're fine.
So I wouldn't mind adding a little bit to it. Over to the mic.
I'll take this out away from you, and then you can conclude with just that one. Is this yours?
Might be. Sure, if we have more time, we'll utilize it. Thanks. So our conceptual plan is something like what you see before you. We have a trade and exhibition zone. We still plan on being in that trade and exhibition business, just expanding it. There's no reason why a Finning Canada can't have their annual, where they're educating and updating their mechanics and showcasing all their new equipment. No reason why they can't, on their tour through the rest of the major centres in Canada, come to Lethbridge for 1 year, except we can't host them. We don't have the facilities. We don't have the technology in the buildings. We don't have the size of the buildings. There's also a recreation zone, and that's where perhaps the city is in need of more camping. Perhaps the city's in need of more walking trails or equestrian trails, or you tell us what this city needs for recreation. Perhaps there's something like an expansion of ice facilities or curling facilities that we could share synergies on this existing site. And I really want to key in on that. There should be no reason why we couldn't share with parking. It's about about 3 or 4 years ago, $5,000 for one stall of parking. That's what the engineering firms were telling us. If we were to go out and build a new parking lot, we could budget $5,000 a stall. So why couldn't we, on a site like this, have it multi-use and share in the parking facilities, share in the concessioning facilities, share in the banqueting facilities, share in the, I guess, what you call comfort station, right? I mean, do we, each of us need to have our own banqueting hall and our own meeting rooms and all our own bathrooms. Why couldn't we share with other user groups in the city? So that's where the recreation zone becomes very much a shared area for whatever the needs of the city may be. Same with the public partnership zone. A lot of the exhibitions, especially the newer ones, there's hotels coming on, there's restaurants coming on site. Just because there's so much business activity, we don't see it here in Lethbridge, but where the facilities are available and where the business is coming to, they're utilizing these hotels and these restaurants. So our public partnership zone is part of this conceptual plan as well. Then, of course, our Okay. from here, colors, Rudy. So the trade zone would be trade and exhibition.
The orange.
Orange. Then we have the recreation zone, which would be the green.
Green.
Yeah. The public partnership zone. Right. Then we have the agriculture zone. And I'm an agrologist, and I'm almost embarrassed. I'm going to get on my soapbox again. What do we really have at our exhibition park that facilitates and endorses agriculture? Right? Some old horse barns? A horse track? So we really, I mean, we are Lethbridge and Tabor and Pincher Creek. I mean, wonderful, wonderful area for agriculture in Canada. And we're not even supporting it, barely supporting it. And then the last piece is the festival zone.
Joins them all together.
And again, very much where the community comes and gathers. It's a meeting point. So that's what we're looking at for conceptually what a footprint would entail. And again, we're wide open to whatever synergy. I mean, if it's an Indian village, a permanent Indian village where there's education going on and tourism happening, why not? If that's what the community wants, if that can be part of what we're sharing in our recreation zone, let's do it. So we do have some renderings of that Cohos Evamy, which is a firm we've been working with, of what Exhibition Park could look like. Rudy, are you better to walk through everybody and explain what?
I think I'll just speak to these in general terms because they are, in fact, renderings, but they speak to kind of where our industry is going when you see some of the new exhibition facilities and the park structures that you see. And they're designed, the old exhibition park, I mean, you know, you had the days when the kids would drive by with their parents and they'd look through the fence at Exhibition Park and say, how do those people get out of there? It was like the barbed wire fence and the chain link. This is the new exhibition park that's more engaging and integrated into the community with public amenities, and the three different images show that. I think what it speaks to is a lot of different things. You know, in the rendering, you can see in some of these renderings, they've got the wind cogeneration plants in the background. That's really the other exciting aspect of this project in terms of getting this community on the map. The work that's being done by architectural firms and engineering firms these days, there's discussions about a net zero emissions exhibition. We would probably be, I'll say probably because I haven't finished doing the research, but I'll say we will probably be the first exhibition of in North America to be net zero emissions. And I think that that's a place where we would want to be in this community in terms of promoting alternative energy and those types of activities. Just an expansion to meet the flexible needs and growing demands of exhibitions and what our clients are telling us, and that shows you the more open pathways that are multi-use and can do outdoor festivals, can do outdoor trade shows, and can support outdoor exhibit space. Those of you that have been to Ag Expo know that even our outdoor exhibit space is at a premium for that trade show because of the demands. And I think the other thing that this model really demonstrates, although it's maybe not shown in the illustrations, that it demonstrates an ability for our organization to grow and change in conjunction with a growing and changing community. And we see that as important when you look at the other facilities let's not even go around North America. Let's go up Highway Number 2 to Red Deer. Yeah, I know Red Deer's in the Alberta Advantage, and I know that Red Deer's between Calgary and Edmonton, and I know that Red Deer has more people in its trading area than we do. But let's just set that aside for a second. Are we really all that different in terms of economy? You know, there's an argument that they're a little bit stronger than we are in terms of economic opportunities. So accepting that for the moment, let's look at where their exhibition association is at, as it has grown and changed and evolved in conjunction with the community on a site that's more like that. Red Deer Exhibition currently has 320,000 square feet under one roof. We have 114,000 at our exhibition. They currently sit on 160 acres, and they've just acquired another 160 acres to accommodate further expansion and parking opportunities and demands for their park. We sit on 63 acres. They've been able to grow at a rate of 6% during the time that we were growing at a rate of 0.3%. What that's meant is not just growth to them, but growth in their commitment and contribution back to the community. So today they sit at about $125 million in economic impact to the city of Red Deer annually through their activities. We sit at 81. So you see where those opportunities to grow and expand and be flexible and accommodating and supporting to the community provides benefits right back to the community that you're serving.
So I think I understand that there's a bit of a pause, and then there's opportunity for you to grill us. So we'll look forward to that. Thank you. Thank you, Georgina and Rudy. And now lunch will be served. And in about 20 minutes, we'll start with question period.